Called Mimutrix, Abandoned Vampire AE. Written by her love as a joke and read by Raymond Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing Frank Iero Gerard Way, and is part 11 of the Screaming Down the Starlit Sky universe. And for more information about the warnings and content, please check out the introductory post on my LiveJournal. Gerard Way was fairly open, as far as vampires went. There wasn't a whole lot that he kept to himself, not with respect to those he considered his friends. He didn't necessarily go out of his way to share information, but he was hardly secretive about the majority of his dealings. He wasn't too proud to ask for help if he needed it, didn't worry that it would make him appear weak, or if it would threaten his place in the gang hierarchy. His rank had survived worse scandals than wanting the occasional tip as to Frank's whereabouts. The fiasco with Briar had only cemented that. Hunter, Gerard said by way of greeting. The younger vampire had a tiny blonde tucked up against his side, eyes glassy and lids heavy. She wouldn't last long, not if she was so out of it. Hunter tended to treat his long-term paramours with a little more care than that. Gerard, Hunter returned. He's somewhere on Bay Street. Gerard still hadn't decided whether or not it was a relief that he never actually had to ask the question. He'd have little trouble finding Frank on his own, but one day, time would be of the essence. He wasn't about to take that chance. Gerard nodded, clapping Hunter on the shoulder as he made his way past, heading for the hotel's revolving door. It had only recently stopped raining, and the air was heavy with the smell of wet earth from the planters that lined the hotel's front entrance. Pink carnations swayed gently in the breeze, and Gerard was struck with the urge to take one with him. It was easy to affix the makeshift boutonniere on his lapel, a little splash of color against his otherwise dark suit and stark white shirt. He passed two other dandies as he set off toward Bay Street, but didn't bother to say hello or even acknowledge their presence. Jersey and Elliot had been particularly enamored with Briar. Their little fledgling crushes, kind of cute, actually. And with the Deimos' recent banishment, had come resentment against all involved. Gerard, after all, had played his part, even if he'd gotten off lightly in the end. There'd been talk of almost nothing else since Briar's departure, the consequences of his actions attracting more gossip than either Wentz's visit or Amanda's demands. Gerard could understand that. It wasn't every day that one of their own was disgraced and made to leave. At least Schechter had taken him back, still furious at having to let Wentz go, but willing to overlook it in favor of the scheme Briar had managed to accidentally pull together. That wasn't so surprising. Gerard knew Schechter well enough to understand that so much careful planning, so much waiting finally paying off, was worth almost anything. What did shock him was the fact that Brendan Urie had been so instrumental. Also, that the object of those machinations had been a human boy, barely 18 years old. Gerard had wanted to ask about that, his curiosity getting the better of him, but he'd kept his silence instead. Schechter rarely had interest in sharing his plans, and he didn't care to be pestered. It was easy to distract himself with Frank. Things were never easy with him, Not after all he'd been through, and all he was currently dealing with. Even Briar's loss, significant as it had been, wasn't even the worst of it. Being transplanted didn't agree with Frank, and though he wanted nothing more than to stay with Gerard, he couldn't stop himself from being consumed with thoughts not only of the city where Beckett had turned him, but also the one where Victoria's people had raised him. Gerard had always tried to take the good with the bad, but there were times, more often since Frank's return, that he wished they'd never made the decision to settle. It wasn't like they'd known it would reawaken the territorial instincts in them, making it so very difficult to leave their homes. But that was of little comfort every time he watched Frank succumb to a little bit more of the suspicion, the paranoia, the need to flee. The airport was located on Bay Street. Gerard hadn't been all that surprised to hear that Frank had been heading in that direction, though it was certainly a new one. He usually had to collect him from the city limits, where he'd be sitting in the middle of so many crushed cigarette butts. He found Frank sitting on a bench outside the doors to the main terminal. He didn't say anything, just sat beside him and people watched for a few minutes. There was a girl inside who looked appetizing. Gerard amused himself by making up a story for her. "She's leaving her boyfriend," Frank said, cutting into Gerard's thoughts. "And taking his dog. That's why she keeps looking over her shoulder." Well, that was more entertaining than the student Gerard had pegged her for. "And why is she leaving?" Gerard asked, leaning back to get comfortable as he watched the girl pick up a designer case, slinging it over her shoulder. She turned a little, and he could see that the side was made of fine nylon mesh. There was a little brown dog inside, gnawing on a biscuit. "She doesn't feel right," Frank replied. "She can't stop thinking about it." "Does that make me the chihuahua in this situation? Or am I the one being left behind?" Gerard raised an eyebrow in question. "It's just a story," Frank grumbled. "Stories can be based on real things," Gerard pointed out. "More often than not, though, they cherry-pick the best bits and fuck up the rest." He tried not to let his thoughts get away from him. This was Frank. Him and Frank. Not a television movie. He tried to summon up some anger, but all he managed to grab hold of was weariness. Things were never supposed to be this way. It was hard to pick up the pieces. Maybe if they'd found him sooner. Gerard cut off that thought. There was no point to it. Frank cracked his knuckles, the sound drawing Gerard's gaze to his heavily scarred hands. Scarring was so rare for their kind that the very sight of the glossy white tissue was enough to make other vampires skittish. It just made Gerard angry. At a time when Frank should have been learning all he could about his new life, a doting sire at his side, he had been left to beg for freedom, for an end to the starvation and torment. That it hadn't even been Frank who'd freed himself certainly didn't help matters. Frank didn't even have that little bit of independence and strength to prop himself up. It was an old one named Ray. "I don't know his last name," Frank whispered in the dark, pressing his body closer to Gerard's. They had an entire king-size bed, but the rest of the space was ignored in favor of lying half on top of each other. Even that wasn't close enough. Why did he help you? Gerard asked, the question bitter on his tongue, like something forbidden, not to be voiced. I don't know, Frank said. He sounded so lost, confused, as though he'd been trying to figure that out since the beginning. Gerard rolled him over and did his best to wipe the question from Frank's mind. Neither, Frank said, voice a little sharp. I'm not trying to make a statement or whatever the fuck it is Mikey would call it. Allegory, Gerard supplied. He didn't think things were as clear-cut as Frank would like them to be, but he kept the thought to himself. Instead, he sighed and got to his feet, holding a hand out for Frank. We should go, he said. Frank looked from Gerard's hand to his face, before settling his gaze on the pink carnation at his lapel. He stood and plucked it from Gerard's expensive suit coat, twirling it between his fingers. A bit of color, he said softly. Light in the dark. Are those just words, too? Gerard asked. No, Frank replied. That one's all yours. Gerard took Frank's free hand and pulled him away from the bench. He didn't miss the way Frank kept his gaze on the flower instead of where he was walking. As long as he didn't stop to look back at the airport, Gerard would take what he could get. There was a letter waiting for him at the front desk when they returned. The girl on duty just held it out as he passed, not announcing it or making any other acknowledgement of the glossy envelope or the thick cardstock inside. Gerard slipped it into his interior pocket and headed for the elevator, Frank still holding tightly to his hand. They undressed as soon as the door to their suite was shut, expensive clothes being tossed around like so much trash. The best way to distract Frank had always been sex, even when he'd been a warm human boy, all wide-eyed and inexperienced. Gerard took him on the carpet in the sitting room, barely 3 feet from the door. There was no way the people who walked past their suite were oblivious to what was happening. It didn't last long. It never did when they were both so worked up. Frank stumbled off toward the bathroom, his knees raw from rug burn that wouldn't last more than a few minutes at most. While he was setting the temperature of the shower, Gerard began collecting their clothes. He was straightening his jacket on a hanger when his hand brushed the interior pocket, and he remembered the letter. The envelope wasn't sealed, so whoever sent it was either confident that it wouldn't be intercepted, or incredibly dim-witted. Gerard lifted the flap and slid the card out, staring in shock at the simple message written across the middle in a fancy, old-fashioned script. Ray Toro. Gerard wasn't sure how long he stood there, staring. An old one named Ray. I don't know his last name. Well, it appeared that someone did. Gerard wasn't sure how he felt about that. Information was valuable. That someone would just give this up was suspicious. He would have to track the sender down, find out if they could be trusted. Gee, hurry up, Frank called, voice echoing off the ceramic tiles in the bathroom. I'm coming, Gerard said, shoving the card and the envelope back into his pocket. It would have to wait. I never wanted to feel like this.